We'll call the order for the board members' work session. Emergency management, that's all you. You're not gonna scare us to death, are you?
No.
It is.
Because I get really nervous.
So I'm working on
1:30.
Putting a list together of who I want on a work group. So I put this list together. And the local LEPC is the local emergency planning committee. All those people I was putting on this list are already members of the LEPC. And we go to the LEPC meetings every other month on the third Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the Port of Morrow. So let me give you some information on that real quick. So what I was thinking, if you'd like to be members of the LEPC, that's what I would recommend. And we go to those every 2 months, like I already do. And then if we have any special events or sessions in between that we would like to do, we can get together and go over those. For example, one would be the eclipse. You know, that's something we're going to get together, you know, probably a few different times and go over information. So what do you guys think about that? I'll give you the list. So I'm going to give you here, this is the list of the bylaws and an application on the back page.
Local Area Planning Committee.
Local Emergency.
LEPC.
Yeah. And I'll give you a list of members right now so you can get an idea of who all goes there. Yeah. And it's really a good group.
And you meet every 2 months or something?
Yes. Did I give you the first handout?
Got it.
So that's what I recommend. Instead of creating another group, where basically we're going to have the same people at that group, and then schedule another meeting for all of us. I mean, I know we're all busy trying to get everything covered and make sure we go to this meeting and that meeting. So this is what I'd recommend, is just joining the LEPC, and if there's anything in addition to this, we could get together and go over those.
Third Tuesday at the Port of Morrow, every 2 months, in the afternoon, is that what you said?
At 10 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would think actually kind of surprised that I didn't know this existed.
Mm-hmm. I knew it existed.
Did you?
Yeah.
I would think that a county commissioner would be fairly vital to this operation.
And I've gone to it ever since I've been under sheriff, and there's never been a commissioner there that I've seen.
Never
been invited. I thought it was just industry folks that talked about all the hazardous materials they stored on site.
Is every city represented?
That's what we recommend. I mean, we recommend every city manager, public works director, every safety officer, manager from the industry, every industry and board member in Morrow County there, fire chiefs, police chiefs, sheriff, undersheriff. It's a good represented meeting.
Public Works
there, yep.
Planning.
Sometimes.
Yeah, just been reading your, I've been doing my testing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
And it, you know, it does talk about the role of planning
and
some things in. I'm a FEMA student identification card.
Well, good job.
Nice job.
And on the side, you can see it says, you know, on this page here, the date last attended. So you can kind of look on the side and see who has been attending, you know, who's current, who's not.
Oh, I see. That's highlighted their last attendance?
Yeah. And we get a good group. We have a really good group, really good work in Morrow County LEPC. And we work a lot with Umatilla County. There was some discussion about combining the two LEPCs, But we want to keep them separate, but we do get together a couple times a year as a big group.
A regional.
Yeah. And I'm constantly in contact with Tom Roberts, the emergency manager for Umatilla County, going over LAPC stuff, emergency management, grants, I mean, you name it. Mm-hmm. We do all kinds of stuff, so.
When's the next meeting?
Next month.
It's the third Tuesday every other month?
Yes.
So July?
The 10th.
Let me come look here, make sure.
But it can't be the third Tuesday.
Let me look.
Can it?
Why not?
July 18th?
That could be the third Tuesday.
Mm-hmm, it is.
The 10th couldn't.
No, it couldn't be the third Tuesday.
Oh, I didn't.
The time is 10 o'clock.
You had a quick question?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know this gentleman.
You don't know Andy?
No.
Oh, okay.
Do I know Andy?
No, I don't think so. Andy Fletcher.
What do you do, Andy?
I'm an accountant for Columbia Basin Electric.
Oh, okay.
Newly elected school board member.
That's right.
So the next week,
Cattle
Bear. What were you thinking? What were you thinking, Andy?
Thank you, man.
The next meeting will be July 18th. And they're always at the Portmore in the big conference room there.
Isn't July, no, August 18th is when that's that Tuesday when the eclipse is. That's like the 21st or something.
21st.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think it makes sense, John, just to maybe alert the group that the board plans on attending now in the future, and this will maybe be our primary emergency management hub? We'll get together.
See if that's okay with them.
Well, you know, that and the fact that, you know, I noticed that Karen Pettigrew hadn't attended, nor had the city manager of Heppner, and they might want to start attending, you know, if they know that it's being used in that way. Just a thought.
Yeah.
You know?
If you saw the application, it was get back to me, and again, I will get together. Dan Turley, he's the current chair. Him and I will get together, and I'll just make sure, and I'll send out an email to everybody to let them know if you guys are interested in joining that group.
You guys know Dan Turley? Dan's the plant manager at the Coyote Springs cogen plant for Portland General.
And our vice chair is currently open because the person that was a vice chair is no longer employed with ZCAM, I think it's the place he worked at. So we're trying to get a person from one of the other industry there to step up and be the vice chair.
Well, you're the leader in this. So,
okay, so
your
recommendation would be for the commissioners and the county manager to join the LAPC and attend as many of those meetings as they can, or at least one person from the board, and then we can report back to whoever can't make that meeting. We do trainings, meetings, so it's a good group. So
cool.
And then that's all I have as far as the list, you know, because getting prepared for this was just getting a list of people who we thought we'd have to get to the table.
Yeah.
And it's all these people that are going to this meeting already. So.
One other question, John. I mean, you probably have lots of questions. I didn't see them on here. Maybe they're on here. But any faith-based organizations?
Not that I've seen, but that's a good idea. We could definitely reach out to those folks.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the stuff I research, it's pretty big. Even through the FEMA, they recommend it. You know, I'm sure down south when the hurricane or when the West Coast slips off into the ocean, people are going to think it's Armageddon, and
okay.
You know, it's pretty huge.
For sure. So far as future sessions, if everybody's on board with the LAPC, so far as future work sessions, it's going to be that eclipse. Terry and I are working a lot on that right now. We're working on an action plan and a PowerPoint so I can present to the board commissioners, to the cities, about what's actually going to happen, what we're expecting, what our action plan is going to be. Just to give you a heads up, our base, what we want is our base station to be at the OHV park. We want extra patrols on 207, the 21 road, and the 53 road up there. And then down here, we're going to have somebody in Kepner, somebody in the north end to patrol the traffic going through. We're projecting probably 3,000 or 4,000 campers in South Morrill County, not including all the thousands of people going through Morrill County to get to Southern Oregon, or, you know, Central Oregon. And what is good, they're going to be following their GPS. I mean, we got people calling from Washington, D.C., saying, hey, we're going to be there. We're going to fly in. They want to fly into Lexington and grab their rental car. And they're like, well, we don't have no place where you can rent cars here. So.
Yeah.
But they're going to buy a car. That's the kind of people we're going to be getting here. And we talked about the cars they're going to be renting. You know, it's all gravel roads up there. And they're like, oh, really? Gravel roads? So it's that kind of... So I think we're going to have people broke down. We're going to have people lost up there. I think we're probably going to be looking at probably trespassing up there because the park's going to be full. So they're just going to pitch a tent wherever they can find a spot. And I'm sure we're going to have property owners calling. That's why we're going to have these patrols night and day up there.
Nice.
Yeah, the part that scares me is you know, people are just going to be camped out on National Forest ground, and everybody's going to have a campfire to roast a marshmallow at night in the middle of August. And
we're going to have extra fire crews up there, two choppers. There's going to be a lot of people up there. It's going to be covered well, but we just don't know for sure how many people we're going to be looking at down there.
Yeah.
So we're going to prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
And people are going to injure their eyes, then they're going to get behind the wheel and drive around.
Yeah.
So.
So we're going to use our...
What choppers, John?
Just for the firefighters, Forest Service. They're going to have two down there.
So these are federally funded?
Yes. Yes.
And the fire crews as well?
Yep. Yeah. They're bringing in an extra 30-man crew. I haven't heard the number of how big the crews are that they keep up there in the summertime, but they're bringing in an extra crew of 30 guys. So, but I'll know more after next week because we have a meeting on the 13th, and then at the Sheriff's Office, we have another meeting on the 15th to start putting this action plan and PowerPoint together.
I think I got a notice on the one on the 13th. That's here somewhere, yes?
Yep, City Hall and Hepner.
City Hall and Hepner on the 13th.
Yep, 9 to 11.
Yeah. And then, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, then you guys are having another one on the Sheriff's Department. I mean, you guys are internally having
Yes. Yeah. Yep. That's when we're going to start putting together an action plan and the PowerPoint to start present to the board and the, like I said, each city and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I plan on contacting all the local law enforcement agencies and see if they have reserves that could ride with one of our full-timers as a two-man unit, because that's one of the issues with South Morrill County is our communications, our radio communications. It's kind of hit and miss.
Absolutely.
So I'm a little worried about sending the guy out in the middle of nowhere, you know, dealing with a drunk driver with no radio communication. So I'm getting with Sean Halsey next Friday, and we're going to go down to South Morrill County and put up a temporary repeater, and one in South Umatilla County, and then we're going to run around South Morrill and Umatilla County and kind of test out the radios and see what we get. So it'll be an all-day event.
Do we have our trailer, the emergency trailer?
The command truck?
Yeah, the command.
It's going to be posted at the OHV park.
Okay.
My plan is, you know, let's say we get some deputies from the north end. They drive down to OHV Park. It takes an hour and a half to get there, an hour and a half to drive home. So I have a 10-hour shift. 3 hours is going to be driving, you know, to or from. So if I can get them up there and have the command truck up there with some food and stuff available, they come up there, take their lunch, and then they go back on the patrols. And we're actually going to have a spot reserved for one of our sergeants wants to pull his trailer up there. So if a couple deputies want to stay up there, they can just stay up there on the trailer and that kind of stuff. So right now it's just stuff that ideas that we're jotting down, getting prepared for it. So, and we're going to be using our Forest Service grants, our DUI grants, and our seatbelt grants to help offset the overtime.
Oh, good.
So yeah, keep that overtime in check.
I think the eclipse is an exception.
Yeah, but those three areas will help. I mean, for example, you know, seatbelt can during the day, DUIs at night down there, so there's going to be a lot of people partying on the weekend and all that.
Well, you could fund the whole operation.
Pretty much.
Yeah, the amount of people that want to come here for a two-minute event is crazy.
Yeah.
And it's not like it only happens once in a lifetime. I mean, the next one's in 26 years.
And what I heard was, you know, Cutsworth Park was going to be 450 people, Anson Wright, 450 people, at least 2,000 at and around the OHV Park. Then you got Pennell Lake, you got Bull Prairie, and then you got all these people that couldn't find a campsite.
Cruising around.
Who's going to be driving around or who pitching up a tent on your property. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You caught my attention.
I think you could make a lot of money with a chemical toilet on a flatbed trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I've heard there are no chemical toilets for rent in the state of Oregon that week.
Yeah.
We take our community service van with the little toilet in the back and drive around.
Talking about.
The little blue.
One thing that they're having a hard time right now is big garbage dumpers, because people are calling to reserve them, and they're booked. So at least they're thinking about where they're going to put the garbage anyway. Mm-hmm. And we haven't heard from Rainbow Group of where they're going to go for sure yet.
So what is the Rainbow Group? I've heard that, and I'm not familiar with it.
I would say go online and research them a little bit.
Okay.
Is it motorcycles or campers?
John, what is the date of the...
They're quasi-gypsies, quasi-Burning Man kind of group.
So from about 9:30, the eclipse will start about 9:30, and about 10:15, it'll be through Oregon. So that's, and the eclipse is only going to last 2 minutes.
After a year with lots of rain and a lot of underbrush.
Everywhere.
I know, there's a ton of fuel in the mountains right now.
Yeah.
And it's a ton of fuel.
It's over.
Yeah.
Now what do we do?
Pretty much.
I'm not prepared for the eclipse.
Just John, could I ask maybe just briefly, since we last met, we had the tunnel collapse at Hanford, mm-hmm. and we really looked for you to provide us direction for what kind of response we would like from the county. Mm-hmm. Is that what we would continue to expect in the future? We could wait for basically your direction or the next in command's direction for what type of action you'd like us to take.
There has been a few incidences at Hanford, and I start sending out the information. Basically, most of the time, they send me information, hey, this happened, we took care of it, this is what we had to do to take care of it. Mm-hmm. So I pass that information on. Mm-hmm. But I monitor it through OEM and frame information from Hanford. So if it starts getting a little out of hand, then we need to get together and start doing something. But that'll be, you know, by email, by telephone, however I get a hold of you guys. So. But we've been lucky and, you know, they were able to take care of their situation with that incident. The only thing I didn't like about the last one, it took them a little longer than I would hope to contact us. Mm-hmm. I mean, we started hearing about it on the internet before they called us. So, mm-hmm. I wish they would be a little bit faster on the phone, but they were busy. You know, they had stuff happening there, so
yeah,
I understand that. But I'll keep getting informed by email. I'm sure you and I will talk on the phone.
Yeah.
But if things start getting out of hand, then we're going to have to get together and start talking about manpower, funding, you know, logistics, food, bathrooms, that kind of stuff, if something would really go haywire.
And I know that communication with staff will be important, too, so we can let people know what's expected.
Yeah. And that increased communication on topics like this is good to see, because it's a little different than when I keep hearing, this is what we've always done. It's like, okay, we're going to do it a little differently.
It's a common response.
That's pretty much all I had today. I mean, we're working, like you said, we're working on an action plan and a PowerPoint, but that will come later, I'm guessing a few weeks.
Revolving around the eclipse, you mean?
Yeah. Anything else I've got going? I went to a training on exposure development. Have you guys been to any trainings on that?
I've been to any trainings. Well, I heard Union Pacific gave a presentation at the Port of Morrill at a chamber luncheon a couple months ago, and that's really the only official thing I've been to on that.
Okay, I'm trying to get.
I mean, I've talked to other people that were, you know, somewhat knowledgeable about it, I guess.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a copy of a PowerPoint to show the board, really covers the event very well. And one of the things that was really good there when people started showing up, emergency manager wise, law enforcement wise, there was a civilian there who said, hey, I have a drone here. I can go fly over the scene and give you guys a good bird's eye view. And they said, okay, let's do that. So this guy flew this drone over, and you've got great video and pictures from it.
Wow.
So ever since they did that, they're showing that PowerPoint all over the United States now. So people are seeing that. So right now, the big push is to get the drones. You know, Umatilla County has four of them right now. And they're using them for, I mean, for example, dropping off supplies to somebody that's lost or stranded up on the mountain, you know. And they use it for, they've used it a number of times. So I'm looking at that, and I actually went and bought one, personally bought one, just so I can go get certified to operate them and fly them and all that and get used to it before we, I try to spend money through emergency management to get a nice one for the county. So that's something we'll be talking about later, hopefully.
Yeah, I've talked to Miff Devin a little bit about the one that the port has, mm-hmm. and you know, there's a real advantage to having them. I know that the port used to do aerial photography, mm-hmm. And when I didn't, I guess, keep my pilot's license current, they had to actually hire a commercial pilot, and instead of just paying for the fuel while I went up there and taking the photographer around, it was like a couple $1,000.
And if you haven't seen the drone footage, I mean, you can get on the internet and look at it. You'd be surprised of how, you think the footage would be kind of rocky, and nope, it's real steady and calm. It's really good footage, so.
Yeah, they're all GPS controlled, and that'll actually take a pretty good crosswind or headwind, and the footage they get out of it is, you know.
Really good,
yeah.
When I get mine, I'll bring it in, and go out and see if we can crash it.
That's what kids used to do when they get those little remote control helicopters. First thing they do is fly it right to the end of its signal, and then it died. It lasts like, you know, a minute and a half, and their toy'd be broken.
I bought an extra battery, so when I do get it, we fly around for about a half hour, or let's say 25 minutes, bring it back, change batteries, so you're good for another 25. So.
Yeah, don't you get a warning when the battery's low?
I mean,
let you know that bring them home, otherwise I'll not get there.
Down to like 20%, it'll automatically fly back to where you're at.
But hopefully, I should have that in the next couple weeks. I ordered it, it's shipping, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Before I forget, John, Ken Patterson, the regional representative from Oregon Department of Transportation, mm-hmm. he said he would like to have a ODOT representative at the. At your staging site.
Okay.
So I'll send you his link and
okay.
get you together with him. You guys can.
For the eclipse?
Yeah, great. Yeah, he said they were trying to get one kind of in Redmond and John Day and various sundry places where they were having kind of these command centers. So I told him I'd get with you.
It'll work.
Get it coordinated.
Anything else right now?
You were going to add us to your distribution list for those trainings that you just mentioned, right?
On which ones?
Just whatever ones come up that you thought might be.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they don't hit my radar.
Yeah, I'll start sending you guys emails when I see. If you see a class that you think, that doesn't sound good, then just delete it.
Okay.
I'll start sending you all the classes I get about emergency management or anything like that.
Great.
Okay.
So.
Very good.
All right.
Thank you.
Anything else? Any questions about anything? Or?
Lots of them, but.
How's the ICS going?
Tons of them, but not right now.
If you get stuck anywhere, I have the answer keys, so.
Well, that would be helpful.
I thought he was going to send them.
All right, that's all I have.
All right.
Thank you, John.
Appreciate it. Are we continuing this meeting for the? I don't see it on the agenda.
Or for which? I think we can just continue with the work session.
Okay. You're just adding it to this work session agenda.
Yeah. Do you have an agenda for the work session? Does it not list this?
I have the one I looked at said.
Let's see.
Emergency management.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is.
Yeah, it's I just don't have my copy, so I think we're good.
Yeah, I don't have my copy.
My glasses out here.
I gave mine back to Roberta with my.
Yeah. Oh wait, no, I'm good.
So I guess we're ready for introductions. Yeah, Jerry, do you want to join us? Or?
Sure, absolutely. Appreciate you guys taking the time to meet with us about Deep Ridge.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah. So as I said in the email that you all got, that my partners and I in the Wheat Ridge project, and Wheat Ridge, the entity that owns the site certificate on the FSEC project, sold our interest to NextEra Energy, or a subsidiary of NextEra. So NextEra is a Fortune 200 company, the largest entity in the United States for wind and solar. We think that they have the best potential for getting our 500 megawatt project to the finish line and other wind and solar projects in South Marl County to the finish line. And so I wanted to make the introductions because I know that they're interested in talking to you about moving forward with the SIP process, and also I wanted to make sure we have introductions to you. So I'll let Melissa introduce herself to you.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you all. It's very nice to meet you guys today. I have a card I can get you to you with my contact information. But my name is Melissa Hockmuth. I'm a project director with NextEra Energy, and I work in our wind development group. And as Jerry mentioned, we're the largest generator of wind and solar power in the U.S. We've got over 100 projects across the country. I most recently was working on some of our upper Midwest projects and just permitted and built two projects in North Dakota last year, about 300 megawatts in size total. And now I'm working on the Wheat Ridge project that we recently acquired here in Morrow and Umatilla counties. So again, working in our wind development group, looking forward to working on this project. We have kind of clear the FSEC permit hurdle, and Jerry and his team did a lot of great work on the project, and understand working with you guys and working with landowners in the area. So we want to pick up, you know, right where they left off, continue working with them, and work with you guys on continuing to develop a successful project here for the county. And Jerry also mentioned, you know, I want to come back, meet with you all, continue to give updates on the project, talk about the SIP. In particular, as we move forward, that's something that we're considering as we work with potential customers on the project and kind of work at taking this to the next level from a customer and project viability standpoint to move towards continued development and construction. So just wanted to introduce myself today to you all and get that conversation started.
Right, right. I think at the core, I want to make sure you had a face and a name for who's leading the development. There is a party out there very interested in ownership of the 500 megawatt project, and we have some obstacles that need to be cleared to get that done, but I think it's very promising that after all these years that we could see something get built between in the 2019-2020 time frame, and so that's going to be upon us instantly, I suspect, if you really think about it. So basically I wanted to introduce who really is Wheat Ridge today, so everybody knows in the county, and answer any questions that we can for you and make contact. I know Mike's here. I know we want to talk about the SIP a little bit, and I think answer any of your concerns you might have about changing the ownership. And
So I have one question, and Jerry brought this to my attention some time ago, but there's a technology out there called advanced detection lighting systems, and NextEra being the largest wind farm operator in the country, you're probably familiar with that.
Yes.
Would that be something you would consider in Morrow County?
Yeah, I think that would be something that we would like to talk to you guys about. I personally, those two projects I mentioned in North Dakota, both of those projects are that system. We're looking at implementing that system at those two projects. So we're learning. It was recently approved in December of 2015 by the FAA. So we're looking at what are the vendors out there, what are the types of technologies that have kind of already been through some of the first steps of that FAA approval process. Of course, it has to be approved at the individual site level of however kind of the radars are set up and how it works. there's other light mitigation technology out there. I think it's something that's coming to light, no pun intended,
right.
for right. use at wind farms. So that is something that we want to work with you guys on. So there's, of course, you know, some costs associated with that. And so that's something we have to also consider for the project. But we know that it can be a huge benefit. So
good. Yeah, I've talked to the gentleman from Oklahoma that's the tall towers person from the Northwest. At FAA about it, so
okay.
But he didn't tell me anything what you did other than that they've got the final stamp of approval on it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and they kind of they've set standards for, you know, what each of the kind of the vendor has to meet and the mm-hmm. system has to meet, and then again you get it site specifically approved for each project on how exactly it's going to work. So
okay.
Yeah, that's something we're going through now on some of our other projects.
And one thing I've been curious about, and I haven't been able to really find the answer. How tall are the towers from base to the top of the blade at the 12 o'clock angle?
Yeah, so it all depends on what type of technology, uh-huh. what turbine bender you use, what like blade length they are. The turbines that we just built, that NextEra just built on those two projects that I talked about in North Dakota were about 450 feet tall.
Okay.
So that's an example of, those were GE turbines, that's an example of, okay. you know, a turbine type.
So we permitted through FSEC, so we used maximum parameters, like we did just corridors, and final placement depends on, and a range of turbines, so different size capacities, different size blades. So I think, you know, we went, so there is some potential to be slightly higher than that.
Can you go over 500 feet?
No, we scored 499.
Yeah, and that's kind of the upper limit there with the FAA. And so,
right, yeah, and our flight rules are above 500 feet.
Yeah, and the FAA, you know, we've had, not the final, we have turbine locations that have been approved by the FAA on this site
mm-hmm.
At 499, 498, depending on the location. Now, obviously, they'll have to be micro-sited and reapproved, but we've cleared the path, you know, we stayed away from the Lexington Airport, so that's not an issue.
Right.
And so, you know, that, and that's the maximum parameter. I don't know, it depends on what turbine technology the final customer wants, and, you know, there's a range of height that could be.
Yeah.
Okay.
450 to 480, it seems like a realistic range
yeah.
of height, blade up, right?
Yeah, yeah, I would agree. Depends on the turbine bender, the hub height, and then also the blade length. The wind speeds of the area, that can vary on how tall the actual tower would be and then how long the blades would be.
Right.
Adding up to that total tip height.
Okay. Yeah, I just know for flight rules, you need
right.
to be 500
yep.
feet AGL or above.
Right.
And it seems to me like you'd be crazy at night to fly that low. But
And it seems that this the light issue is under 10,000 foot, right? It's not... those lights aren't there for airliners. It's for
right.
small pilots, right? So,
mm-hmm.
so they want those lights flashing for somebody flying at those lower elevations. So,
right.
Yeah, I think everybody's interested in the light
yeah.
pollution being limited. If we can figure it out, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be something they will approve, clearly. And I think it's a cost question in that, depending on how complex the site is, how much that cost is. I think
right.
that's.
Yeah,
you know.
That's all a function exactly of the layout of the site, how many radar towers you need, it's
right.
making sure the lights are retrofitted for that type of technology. It's just some variations that go into the design to accommodate for something like that.
Okay.
And I think we're finding that, you know, renewable wind and solar have come down in price, right?
Right.
So it's getting to be a very competitive
mm-hmm.
marketplace. The good news for, you know, for Wheat Ridge, for Morrow County is we actually have a permitted site, which is an unusual, you know, a large-scale site in Oregon is very rare at the moment, and we have the Wheat Ridge project has the rights at the BPA, so that's a big issue, right? So some of the critical pathways to actually being successful are there. It's a matter of getting the pricing right. We still have a couple obstacles that, you know, there's some disputes still out there that need to be resolved. So
do you have hurdles to overcome that you think the county can help you with, or
well, you know, as you know, we have an issue about the transmission corridor, transmission line, and you know, I'm still hopeful that a resolution to that is found without pulling everybody to the table to do it. But I do think that it currently is put the project. The current potential buyer is very concerned about that issue and starting to hesitate on the purchase. So I think it's an issue we've got to get resolved quickly.
Yeah, that's probably going to be one of our number one things that we want to get resolved here in the short term.
Right. And I think that we all, you know, I've always been an advocate of this idea that we're going to have a single corridor, that we're going to figure out a way for multiple projects to hook up, and you know, we don't have that zigzagging private line thing across the county, and you know, so it's a great idea. It's just in need of a final solution that actually works.
Right. Yeah. I mean, nobody wants a power line in their backyard, and if we can find a corridor that only irritates 10 people, it's a lot better than irritating 100 people.
Right. You know, and in truth be known, you know, Boardman to Hemingway, if what we all agreed to gets Boardman to Hemingway and that Longhorn substation gets built and there's a whole bunch more server, you know, data centers in the Port of Morrow, it's a big deal for everybody. So, you know, we needed to make it work for all the parties that were at the table.
Yeah, it surprises me how long it takes from somebody's idea to get one of these projects actually under construction, when it was pretty much agreed upon that this is the preferred method of producing electricity. We want renewable, and you know, I don't know how long you've been working on it, Jerry, probably what, 7 years?
2008.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, permitting takes a bit, but it's really all market-driven. It is kind of really what
But you'll notice PGE right now in front of PUC has been doing a, you know, their process to try to get to be able to do a renewable. Mm-hmm. And they've dropped their gas out because they had so much objection. And they still have the state staff, a state governor, state government all says they want renewables. And the staff report is suggesting that maybe renewables would be cheaper in like 2027. Maybe they could just wait, right? But the tax credit disappears in the end of 2020. And no one knows what the technology looks like in 2025. So.
Right.
So it's sort of amazing to me the process that we're working through.
Yeah, I was at that PUC hearing, and I just said there are a lot of people in the Portland metro area that think differently than most of my friends in Eastern Oregon.
I'm with you.
You know, whether they're right or wrong, I won't go into that, but they think differently than most of my friends out here.
Yeah.
So, Jerry, is it contingent on any of these things coming to pass, or is it a done deal? I mean, it's...
Well, so NextEra is the owner of the project. We had everything that we thought we were capable of getting done, and the ultimate buyer needed somebody of more stature than Jerry Reitman and his band of odd investors, right? Mm-hmm. So, ultimately, we needed somebody that could dot all the I's, cross the T's, and make sure we get to the finish line. And also, I wanted somebody that would not just do 500 megawatts, but would look at additional wind, additional solar, take that full position that we, and NextEra is definitely the party. And quite honestly, they're interested in getting this first 500 put in the ground. They likely won't own it. Likely it's a third party that owns it. And then they would do the follow-on development behind it. And I think that they would, you know, that's why they're here, is I think.
I know there's at least a half a dozen other wind projects kind of waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
You know, that planning is discussed, but I'm not really aware of any large solar ones this end of the county.
No, and I think that there's some potential for that down the road, and I think that pipe, that line, gets built. And it's hooked to the substation, and it's available to maybe feed to the next substation that gets built. That's how you see people get excited about actually spending money on doing solar or additional wind. And, you know, just like the wind, I think the solar has to be in a spot that people are comfortable with it, or at least it's somewhat compatible, you know. And there'll be places where it works and places that it won't be comfortable, right? Mm-hmm. And
solar's kind of interesting. You talk to the guys down the I-5 corridor, they're ready to put it in their grass fields because they said it's still more lucrative than, you know, farming grass seed. But,
right. You know, so. Well, you know, one mistake I think everybody makes about all this, any of these renewables or anything, just look at the coal fire plant. It's 1970s. We built a coal fire plant in the county, and we're going to walk away from it. And, you know, PG's going to be done with it in just a couple years. And it's the truth about these, whether it's solar. Solar, I think, probably comes off the ground quicker than wind. Wind probably is 30 to 50 year. Solar probably, you know, I bet that technology in 20 years is whether you, maybe you retool it, but I bet at some point, you know, it, but all that stuff then gets cleaned up and walked away and the land is still there. So for one or two generations, so in my lifetime, I've seen a coal-fired plant come and a coal-fired plant go in my lifetime. So it's not like it's a multi-generational thing even. And I see the renewables the same way. I would tell you in 50 years, we have no idea what our power source is, right? So.
Squirrels in a cage.
Yeah, could be. You may be burning wood. I have no idea. But so, I, you know, that's some of the hurdles. But I think we've, I mean, I think the county is primed to have more renewables happen. I think that it's a steady tax base and jobs. And it's something the southern half of the county can do that in many ways is compatible with farming.
I think once that conduit goes in,
yep,
things are really going to
change. Oh, I think so too. And if we could get the first project built, right? So there's 400 or 500 megawatts of wind spinning in South Morrow County and a pipe, other things will happen, right? That's that piece. You look at, you know, I farm there, the waste management property. So the first project in North Gillen County was on land I'm farming, right? And they built that first bit in Jones Canyon. There was space in the substation, and boom, boom. We got Dick Krebs has renewables. Everybody does. And it, you know, it's because there was a pipe there. There was a way to get it out. And once one went, the other stuff followed within a reasonable time frame. So that's still my vision, and that's why they're here, is because I think they see that vision.
And then we need to turn that conduit, though, and bring some of that power into here. Get some of those data centers.
Right. I think that the issue with the data centers is the same issue, you know, it's an efficiency thing, right? The reason they fit at the Port of Morrow is everything's there that you need. Cool water in the summer, hot steam in the winter, and their cost of running them is cheaper. I mean, you know, there's a reason they're at the port.
Yeah, I just see the value of what they did for, you know, I lived a lot of years in Central Oregon.
Right.
And seeing Prineville, you know, dwindle and go away.
Right.
And then come back.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and if there's a conduit someday, I mean, my view is this line will be an open access line, right? I mean, you'll have to pay money. You have to step up to the plate. You'll have to be real. And you'll have to follow through and, you know, pay for your access for transmission, just like the Wheat Ridge project will have upfront done, paid to build the thing, paid for their access going forward. But that doesn't mean there couldn't be access to the south as well, right? And there's got to be a gatekeeper. You know, there's got to be somebody that takes those requests, handles that money, and settles the issue. And you know, frankly, I'm comfortable with Umatilla Electric doing that. I think they are big enough, and there's somebody that a $1 billion wind project can comfortably, you know, you put $1 billion in the ground and you're getting paid by that power going that line. You need to know that line is being managed by somebody that has track record. Umatilla has it with the Hermitage Gen, right? They already have done this since the mid-90s. So, and it's got to be an open entity, though. It's got to be either a governmental body or a utility or somebody that can say, yeah, we'll have an open access, it'll be fair. You write your checks, you enter the process, and if you're real and you want to wheel power in or out, there's got to be a way to do that. And I think that, you know, Umatilla's committed that to us, that that's their process, so.
I know next there is, you know, on some of these other projects you put in, you got into some litigation. Was that because you were in earlier in the process? Because I don't see that maybe in like this process.
Of what type of litigation do you mean? Like, is there a specific project you're referring to?
Yeah, just some of the wind projects in the Midwest, or is that recall?
Yeah, I mean, there's, I don't know specifically, like, you know, specific circumstances of whatever litigation.
Yeah, but I would think those are behind this project.
Yeah,
you know, so this FSAC permit, we've got the site certificate. Irene, our one objector, could object. The FSEC is likely to say no, we still give you the permit. She's unlikely to take it to the Supreme Court. So that, well, she's already expressed she's not really interested in doing that. So that process should be done. So Litigation-wise, no. I mean, they have to build it to the FSEC permit, right? They have to comply with, you know, corridors, roads, permits from the counties, noise issues. All those issues have to be addressed, right?
So you're talking about the opportunity for litigation,
yeah,
kind of still on this project.
Right.
It's just all about compliance now moving forward.
Yeah.
It's really what it is. Yeah. I mean, there is this appeals period, like Jerry said,
right,
but it's just all about compliance and making sure that that's done on the FSEC.
Right. And I feel like that's, you know, that was where for Andrew, my partner from Portland, who used to be with, you know, Iberdrola and I, and then our financial partners from California, that point where you're talking about actually building it, being in compliance, that starts to be a line that we weren't going to cross, right? We needed a party at the table that really could do that. I mean, that's one thing to work through the FSEC permit, work with the landowners. It's another thing to think about, you know, somebody financing $700 million project and putting it in the ground and actually dotting all those I's, cross those T's, and being able to say you're legitimate to stand behind that.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's why NextEra owns it today, right? I want to make sure we actually get to the finish line.
How many individual landowners are involved in this project, as far as having towers on their property?
I think we're in the somewhere between 20 and 25. I think I'd have to look for sure, but
not that, that's right.
I think that's in the ballpark, right? And that's just this project, right? So you know. And truthfully, we did look around for mainly farm ground and mainly ground that, you know, wasn't too many landowners, right? And in this country, actually, it's not that hard to find not too many landowners, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ryland wheat farms are bigger, so.
Well, and I look at it, and I'm sure your landowners look at it the same way. I mean, the price of wheat is depressed right now. We've been in a couple-year drought, so their ability to, you know, show a positive return on their investment has been diminished the last couple of years. So this gives them another income stream that lets them hang on.
So in you know, this is I don't know how many acres of total land we leased under this. It's 100 and some thousand total acres that are under the Wheat Ridge project. But Andrew and I, at moments in time, total, if I look at everybody, we've leased over 1 million acres of ground across Morrow, Gillum, and Umatilla County at moments in time, trying to, you know, we had that other project that failed that we didn't succeed with. And so I can name at least another 900,000 to 1 million acres of landowners that would like to sign a wind lease or a solar lease if somebody approached them, you know. And there are legitimately some of the best wind left in Oregon is left in South Morrow County right now. I mean, we've studied enough of it to know that legitimately there are hundreds more megawatts of good wind resource in South Morrow County. So, you know, I think there's potential for double, you know, I think you can go to 1,000 megawatts of wind without much difficulty, maybe even 1,500 if you wanted to.
And I think to your point, it's one of the most compatible uses as far as continued.
Right.
You know, ag use goes, you talk about thousands and thousands of acres being leased, and then in the end it's only an acre or two of land for the actual turbine, you know, base, and then whatever road is leading up to
right.
that turbine that's actually taken out of
production.
Yeah. So,
and you have nice roads on your farm when you get done.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I have friends that are dry land wheat farmers or have very marginal range land that they're happy to have the wind turbines on their property.
You bet.
Yep.
So mainly I wanted to make sure that you knew who owned the Wheat Ridge project, where we're going, wanted to make sure that we made contact so that you know who is the owner of Wheat Ridge, and I wanted to make sure that Melissa had a chance to meet all of you so that she knew that, you know, that you guys are not a scary group. You're actually a group that a developer should come and talk to early, not later, you know, and that if they got ideas, that they should bring them to you and talk about it and try to solve these problems up front, not later.
Yeah.
So as you move forward, maybe into the SIP process, et cetera, and maybe get some of these other issues resolved, do you have some other team that's going to be in town? Are you going to fly in and out? Or, I mean, are you...
Yeah, I'm based on the West Coast, so I'm going to be the project manager for this project. Yeah, so I'll be the one that's mainly working with you guys. I mean, I have an entire team of people who work on the project, everything from land, permitting, tax, you know, issues. And so it'll usually be me and other folks. But yeah, I'll be the point of contact for the project. So, yeah. And it's easy for me to get up here quickly, and whenever you guys have questions or I can attend a meeting to
You'll notice, though, it's further from the West Coast to here than it is from here to the West Coast.
Almost downhill.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Good to know. Yeah.
I don't think I've got any more questions for you right now. I would like to get your business card, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you've got an extra one, I've got a son that's in the industry. I told him I'd pass it along.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's been involved in some wind projects in the past. And,
great.
And now he just buys power from one project. So.
Yeah.
There you go. Can we get one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Me as well.
Yeah.
And Mike, we need to make sure I'm being fired. I'm requesting my staff to bring me one. I'm an assessor tax collector. Mike, go on.
Okay.
Nice to meet you, Melissa.
All right, yeah. Nice to meet you all, too.
I'm one of your customers.
Hey,
very nice to meet you. Looking forward to working with you all.
Yeah, one thing for sure.
Yes, exactly.
If you're, looking at a set project, Mike will probably be involved somehow. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, that's
if
my
I
understanding.
Get another one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, for your son. Yep,
yeah, he works for a company called PNGC Power.
Right, great. Thank you so
you.
Much.
Yeah.
Really nice to meet you, Jerry.
Thank
you. All right, well, I appreciate you guys taking the time
yeah,
and making
this
fit
much
in. Into our time schedule, which was a little late in the day, probably. Sorry about that, but
we'll have to.
We've been in multiple meetings today, trying to get her introduced and solve a couple issues at the same time. So,
yeah. But no, this is a great project. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't. So we're really looking forward to working with you guys and making this happen, and then however we can support future development as well. So,
thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Nice to meet you.
Anything else on the agenda for this afternoon? I don't see anything with my glasses.
I don't have anything.
All right. There's nothing further. We'll adjourn at 2:30.
At 2:30.
That worked.